This is the season for singing. It's a season of song. And in case you haven't heard it, the season is not Christmas. We've been hearing Christmas music from the loudspeakers of all of the stores and the mall since October. But the season of song I'm talking about is the Advent season. You know, Christmas, everyone loves the music of Christmas. It's one of the greatest parts of the holiday, the music and the singing. But as Episcopalians, we strive not to sing Christmas music prior to Christmas. It's a new concept, hard to understand sometimes. But we've gone to some trouble here, new ways to treat Advent here at St. Paul's to kind of bring to our attention what the season's all about. So you'll see the blue color that George has taught us all about. And you'll smell the candles. Normally you could smell wax candles. These are oil candles. But we're using our imagination here too. You can imagine the candles. These are much more economical, environmentally friendly, and cleaner. But we are trying to create the Advent season in many ways by sight and sound and smell and touch. And the sound of the music is a little unusual. You know, without the Christmas carols, we have Advent music. A little less familiar to us. A kind of a lovely, but a little bit strange, minor sound. And it's the way we know what the season is. So this is how we create the season of Advent in all different kinds of ways. So you came here the first Sunday in Advent, and one of the things we were singing was, "Come thou long expected Jesus." And that was the way to usher in. Yes, this is what we're about. We're moving through the season, and in the second week, we were introduced to John. And John, on Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. So we're getting to know the story through the music. It helps us learn the season. It helps us to know the story. And on through the third and the fourth Sunday of Advent, here we are in the fourth Sunday, and it's Mary's Sunday. And Mary has her own song, the Magnificat. Now, throughout Scripture, you know, song is a part of everything for the people of God. From the people of the Hebrews, when they were struggling through their journey with God, they turned to song. And there's an entire book called the Book of the Psalms, 150 of them, they're actually songs. And fully a third of them have instructions on them addressed to the director of music to tell something about how they are to be sung. In some cases, it indicates what kind of instrument you should use. And in some cases, it encourages everyone to sing. That means the congregation as well as the choir. Everyone to sing. And that's where the songs come through the Scripture, long into our history. There are psalms of praise and there are psalms of lament. Let me give you an example. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The song that praises God, so people could sing it at the top of their lungs when they're feeling good, when they want to raise God's name, when they want to remind themselves about God. And then there's the times that are not so good, when they were in captivity. And this was a psalm of lament, 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." So you see, the Psalms allowed the people of the Hebrews to express all kinds of emotion and make their way through their journey with God. It's also in our culture. Negro spirituals, a way of expressing praise and expressing lament. Go down, Moses, free at last. Steal away. And the civil rights movement had its own music. The Freedom Highway, the times they are a-changin'. Who remembers, we shall overcome. Songs do many things. And Luke uses the songs in the birth narrative, three different ones, not just Mary's song of today. But if you look through the birth narrative, you'll see Zechariah at the time of John's circumcision singing the Benedictus. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And you'll also hear from Simeon when he finally greets Jesus. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. It's a song. It's a song. And the Magnificat, Mary's song. Her song of challenge and commitment and the love of God. So you see throughout this whole story and song that there are ways that song will help us through the journey, whether it be a song of praise to express our gratitude, whether we sing about a lament that allows us to express our grief and yet stop its power over us, all the way to the Song of Mary, which really is a revolutionary song, talking about how God will upend the natural order of the world. Listen to the words of the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has shown the strength of his arm, scattered the proud in their conceit. He's cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and the rich sent away empty. Mary's song, if you listen closely, is all in the past tense. And this doesn't mean that it's already happened, that the hungry are filled and the powerful are cast off their thrones. It means Mary is joining. She is joining in God's kingdom, in the change that God will bring about through the Savior. Now, this is Mary's song, but it could also be our song. And I want us to sing this song of Mary in a way that we can, a little bit easier than the words of the entire canticle written in Old English or Modern English or Latin. There's a Tese chant I'd like us to sing and take with us over the next few days as we wait for the Nativity. And I'll tell you the words, and then Joe will play through it, and I'd like us to sing it a couple times and make it part of our song. The words are simple. The loose translation of Magnificat is, sing out my soul. So the words are, sing out my soul, sing out my soul. Sing out and glorify the Lord God. Is that correct? Can somebody help me with that? Sing out my soul, sing out my soul. Sing out and glorify the Lord who sets us free. Thank you. Sing out my soul, sing out my soul. Sing out and glorify the Lord God. The words are easier when you're singing it, trust me. Could you play it through, Joe? And then we'll join you. Sing out my soul, sing out my soul, sing out and glorify the Lord who sets us free. Sing out my soul, sing out my soul,
Sing out and glorify the Lord God. Sing out my soul, sing out my soul. Sing out and glorify the Lord who sets us free. Sing out my soul, sing out my soul. Sing out and glorify the Lord God.
Two. Over the last few weeks of Advent, we have seen and heard from around the world about death and destruction. We've heard from Paris and California. And we even remembered this week that 3 years ago, in a school in Connecticut, 20 children and 6 staff were killed. These are the kinds of things that make us lose our voice to sing. But we sing, like Mary at any rate. And we gather closer together and we join in that past tense song of Mary's so that we know we're part of God's plan. We name God's plan and then we join God's plan. And so we join in Mary's song. And by doing so, we begin to change the world. We are the ones to fill the hungry with good things. We are the ones to comfort the sick. We are the ones to care for those who are mentally ill or lonely or in despair. And so Mary's song is our song. Let it be our song. Let us sing it one more time to remember it and carry it with us in this week. Sing out my soul, sing out my soul. Sing out and glorify the Lord who sets us free. Sing out my soul, sing out my soul. Sing out and glorify the Lord God. Amen.